Aren't those words beautiful? Amen. That's a beautiful song. Thank y'all so much for singing that. I hope you brought your Bible with you this morning. Go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this morning. I think I'm good. Thank y'all. Alrighty. You'll see there on the screen that today we're going to be talking about this title, Growth in the Lord. Growth in the Lord, and we'll take 2 Peter verses 1 through 11, and we'll consider that topic together. Now, probably for the first few minutes of this message today, there's not going to be too much structure to it like I usually do with the 3-4 points, however you want to do it. But how many of you worked in business and you had to do inventory? Right. Raise your hand if you loved doing inventory. I got my business degree and I did it for about a month. And I said, you know what, this ain't for me. Inventory, there ain't nothing fun about it, is there? But you know, though inventory is not fun, it is necessary. It's necessary to see where you're at and where you need to go from there. And today, what I want to do is we're going to take spiritual inventory of ourselves. And let me be honest with you, it ain't going to be fun. So you came to church on a bad Sunday, I'm sorry. But though it probably won't be that fun, it is necessary. It's necessary to see where we are, and it's necessary to see where we need to go and how we need to grow in the Lord. And today, hopefully at the end of this sermon, we're going to leave you hanging a little bit to where you say, well, I'm hungry for more. That's kind of where I want to leave you at the end of this sermon today. So if you leave hungry, it's because of one of two reasons. The food wasn't good, or your appetite wasn't good. I'm going to go with probably the food wasn't good. But anyway, we'll just see what happens. All right, 2 Peter chapter number 1. If y'all are ready to read this, say amen. All right, some of you aren't, we'll read it. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain, amen. He's just saying amen. Given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the church say amen. Father, we come to you this morning. We do thank you so much for this word. And Father, I pray that you would use it to penetrate our heart. And I pray that you would use it, God, to do a great work in our heart today. Lord, help us to look in the mirror today and see where we are and see how we need to grow closer in our relationship with you, God. As we start this new year, that is the desire or needs to be the desire of our heart to grow closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray today you'd place that desire in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, 2020 was a hard year. But as I said earlier, God blessed us in 2020. I don't know about you, but 2020 was a pretty good year for me and my wife. The greatest gift we've received was a little boy. And a lot of you know this. Children are a gift from the Lord. There's no doubt about that. Children are a precious gift from the Lord. But here's something that I want you to know this morning as well. Parents are also a gift from the Lord. Not only are children a gift from the Lord, parents are a gift from the Lord. God not only gives children to parents, He gives parents to children. And the Bible tells you there are many reasons why God gives children parents. And one of those reasons found all throughout the Word of God, He gives parents to children to help the child grow up. That is one of the reasons for parents, is to help their children grow up. A child without parental supervision, a child without parental guidance, has a hard time growing up right. And we've all seen that, especially school teachers, you see that every day. Parents play a big role in the child's development and in the way that they grow up. Because the God-given duty for parents is to help their children grow. That is one of the reasons why every day we give Levi milk. We give Levi baby food in order to help him grow up. We read books to him. We talk to him. We place him on his tummy and we let him roll over. All of that is done to help him grow and to stimulate his growth. Now, let me say this. If 4 years from now, Levi can't walk, he can't talk, he can't count, and if he wears the same size clothes as he does today, you would say there's something wrong. Amen? If all of that's the same in 4 years, he can't walk, talk, count, or he's wearing them same tiny clothes, there's something wrong. Because he's not supposed to stay the same, he's supposed to grow, as sad as that is. He's supposed to grow in those aspects, and it is the parent's job to help him grow. Now, I start out with that, and I tell you all of that for this reason. The reason God gives men and me the gift to preach and teach the Word of God is very similar. It is to help Christians grow up. It is to help Christians become more mature, but most of all, it is to help other Christians become more like Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 4, that is my goal, that is my duty, and that is my purpose as a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, is to help you grow up in the Lord. We've now entered the year 2021. That means very simply that 365 days have come and they have gone. 2020 is now over, and the question that I have to ask every child of God in here this morning is this. From January of 2020 to now January of 2021, have you grown in the Lord? In 12 months, have you grown in the Lord? Because, listen to this, I'll say it again. If Levi, our son, walks, talks, and looks the same next January as he does today, there's something wrong. If he looks, talks, and really acts the same next January as he does this very day, there's something wrong. And we can say the same thing. If you and I, standing here today, are the exact same as we were 365 days ago, is because something went wrong. You see, the reason God gives us seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, and years as His children is so that we'll grow in our relationship with Him. We aren't to stay the same in the Christian life, but God's plan and God's will is that you and I grow in our relationship with Him. So the question we've got to ask ourselves is this. Did we grow in the Lord in the year 2020? And the question you should be asking yourself is, how do I know if I did? All right? How do I know if I grew up in the Lord this past year? Here's a quote that I want to read to you. How do I know if I grew? The Apostle Peter offers a surefire way to know if your relationship is growing deeper. It's not by the works you do or the sacrifices you make, but it's by the quality of your character and whether or not you reflect God's glory in increasing measure. That's how we know we have grown in the Lord, is by the quality of our character changing and by us reflecting God's glory as we move along. You see, Justin knows this, that I can read my Bible every day. I can pray every day or every other day. And I can come to church even once or twice a week and still not grow. I've done it before. I've done it all the time. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I'm coming to church. I seem to be doing all the right stuff, but I ain't grown. All those are things to stimulate our growth, but that doesn't mean we're growing. Here's the way we can tell if we have grown in the Lord. It's by the change He's made in us. It's by the changes He is making in us, in our character, conduct, and conversation. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, has any of that changed over the last 12 months? Has our character changed? Has our conduct changed the way we live? And has our conversation, really the way we talk, changed? Now, here's some questions that I want to ask all of us this morning. I told you this wasn't going to be fun. To ask and see if we have grown up this year. Here we go. Did we grow in our prayer life? One man said this, if we ain't praying, we playing. And I like that. If we ain't praying, we playing. And one of the greatest things that every Christian must grow up in, including me, is our prayer life. And the question I want to ask you is this. Last January, did you pray more or less than you do now? Can you say right now that your prayer life changed in the last 12 months? You can answer that yourself. Did we grow in our prayer life? Number two, over the last 12 months, did we step out in faith and do something God wanted us to do? You see, the Christian life that you and I are living is a life of faith, which means this, stepping out into uncertainty, yet certain God told you to do it. That's what living by faith means. Stepping out and doing something that you have no idea what's going to happen, yet you know for 100% fact your God told you to do it. So the question this morning is, did we do that over the last 12 months? Did we get ourselves out of just everyday life and say, God, I want to step out in faith and do this, what You're telling me to do? The next question, did we love and show kindness to others? And that's a good one. Because God's will for us as we grow in Him, is not that we grumble. It's not that we're unkind. It's not that we're mean towards others. But when God begins to change us, when God begins to produce growth in us, one of the greatest ways you can tell is He makes us more loving and kind to other people. You see, God's will is that we become people. You ever seen people, you say, that's a people person right there. Did you know God's a people person? The Bible says God so loved the world. He's a people person. And when He begins to change His character and He puts His character in us, you know what we'll become? People. We'll love others the way God does. So did we love others this year the way God loved them? Did we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Peter is all about in this second epistle, is knowing more as you go on about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the pages of the Word of God only, but in your life. Do you know Him, and did you grow in your knowledge of Him over the past 12 months? And here's the last one. Did we conquer our sinful habits? Now, let me be real clear on this, because that can be very disturbing. Did we conquer our sinful habits? We will never conquer completely our sin until we get to heaven. We'll never conquer our sin all the way until we get to heaven. But God intends for us to gain victory over the sinful habits in our life. He does not want our sin to become a habit. We are going to sin. We are going to struggle with sin until the day we reach heaven. But He does not want that sin to be a habit in your life. So the question is, 12 months ago, what was the sin you were struggling with and it was a habit of doing and you just couldn't stop? And the question you've got to ask yourself is this: is that still a habit in my life? Is that still something that is still a habit in my life? Or did God help you lay down that sinful habit? Because it's God's will. And by the way, He's given us the power to be able to do that. So the question is, did we? So those are the questions we've got to ask ourselves. And that is our inventory this morning. Did we grow in our prayer life? If you're writing these down, beside that, put yes or no. Ain't nobody got to see them except you. Did you grow in your prayer life? Be honest, yes or no. Was there a time you can look back on and say, man, I stepped out in faith. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was just trusting God. God wants us to do that. Did we do that? Did we love others, or at least grow in our love for others the way God loves others? Do you know Christ more today than you feel like you did 12 months ago? Or are you still struggling with the same sinful habit today as you did 12 months ago? Right? Yes or no beside all of those. And that will show us whether we grew in 2020 or not. The reason I gave you those questions is because God gave me those questions and wanted to ask myself about those. And what many of us have just realized this morning is, spiritually speaking, 2020 just went by and we didn't grow. 2020 just went by and we wasted the time God gave us. 365 days passed by and we meddled around in the same old, same old. Everything seems to be just the same as it was 12 months ago. Nothing has changed. But this morning, Brother Johnny, I don't come to bring condemnation. I come to bring good news. Because, by the way, it is a new year, and we have a God who, despite our faults, failures, and shortcomings, gives new opportunities to grow with Him. That is what's so special about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is when He got up that morning, He promised us to give us new mornings as well. That when we mess up, He gives us new opportunities to grow with Him. But I'm here to tell you this: if you drove in this morning in the parking lot, you saw, could 2021 be the year Jesus comes back? And the answer to that very well could be yes. And if that answer is yes, do you know what God wants us to do? Start growing now. He wants us to start today growing in our relationship with Him. Because this is what God's will be for you and I. When we come back to church, Lord willing, in January of 2022, 12 months from now when we come back to church, God's will is that we would be totally different than we are right now. That's what God's plan is for you and for me. 12 months, we'd be totally different than we are right now. So the question is this: how do we make it to where next year at this moment, at this time, we can look at those very same questions and write, yes, I did grow in my prayer life. I did step out in faith. I did try my best to love others in Christ. I did grow in my knowledge of Christ through the Word. And I did conquer that habit that seems to be bogging me down every single day. Because I want you and I want me to say yes to all of those questions next January. Did you know it's possible to say yes to all those? Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And that's just teeny. It is possible for us to do all of those things and grow this year. But the question this morning, once again, is how? How can I make it to where I can say yes to all of those next year? Well, that's what the epistle of 2 Peter is all about. Growth in the Lord. And that's what I want to preach on today. And I'll just go ahead and say this, Lord willing, all of January. We got 5 Sundays in January, and it would be a little hard, but okay to get through these 3 chapters of Peter, because all of these 3 chapters about how can we grow in the Lord. Now, that was just the introduction. Some of you is already asleep. You're not growing. If you're all right, say amen. Amen. We got half people all right. How about everybody all right back here? You all right, Ronnie? He's all right. Let's talk about this morning our growth in the Lord. I'm not going to keep you too long because I'm hungry too. If there is one apostle that we would want to teach us on this subject of how to grow in the Lord, it's the Apostle Peter. If there's one man who can tell you how to grow and how God can make a change in somebody's life, it's Peter. You see, from the time Peter met Christ until the time he gave his life for Christ, his life was a life of growth in the Lord. Jesus changed this man completely. He even changed his name. His name was Simon. Jesus changed his name to Peter. You will see that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter was as prideful as could be. He said, oh yeah, I can walk on water. All the other apostles stay here. Watch this. Peter said, I will never deny you, Jesus. I'm that confident in myself, I'll never deny you. What happened? They came to arrest Jesus and do the will of God that Jesus said they're just going to have to do it and kill me and crucify me. And Peter says, no, that might be your plan. That's not my plan. I'm going to take out my sword and defend you, Jesus. Peter was as prideful as could be. Yet about 30 years later in 1 and 2 Peter, if you read through these letters, it breathes humility. Of how it's not about himself, it's about the Lord. In the Gospels, Peter denied even knowing who Jesus was. Years later, in 2 Peter, you'll see that he's telling them, I'm preparing to give my life for Jesus. So years before, he said, I don't know him. Now he's about to say, I do know him, and I'm willing to lay down my life for him. You know what that is? Growth. Peter grew in the Lord. He didn't start out as this godly man we see in Acts 2 preaching at Pentecost, sharing the gospel with the world, and resembling Christ in his character. But I do want to tell you, over time, he grew into that man. Over time, he did grow into someone who resembled Christ in all he did. Which is why Peter places so much emphasis on growth in the Lord. Because Peter has experienced firsthand how much Jesus can change a person. And I don't know if y'all have ever experienced how much Jesus can change you. But Peter has experienced that Jesus Christ can change anybody. And that's why he's so bold about saying, listen, we can grow in the Lord. Because he's still changing people. And this year, if you want to change, I know a God who can change you. And what I want to do today, I'm just going to give you 2 points. We won't have time to get into all of them. But I want to kind of look at this from Peter's example of how he grew in the Lord here in these chapters, and he writes it out for us. I'm going to give you probably four things over the next 2 weeks. But the first thing I want you to see is this, all right? We're going to move through these two pretty quick. Number one, I want you to see the preface of growth. In other words, what we need in order to start growth. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And you need to circle that word, faith. So he's writing to people who are already saved. He's writing to people who have already placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says this, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So what Peter is saying this, in order to grow and add to your faith, first thing you got to have is faith. In order to add to your faith, you first got to have faith. And I want you to know this. Simon Peter's growth in the Lord started out. This is how his growth started out. With one decision, one day, to place his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only way anybody here can begin a life of growing in the Lord, is to first be sure you receive Him as your Lord and Savior by faith. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but I love to hear testimonies. I love to hear stories about when, where, and how you got saved. Those are some of my favorite stories in the world. About how old you were, where you were, what happened when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And the reason I love it is this. Although the times vary, the places vary, and the ages vary, it all happened the same way. Salvation all happened the same way. And I want you to see how it happened with Peter. There are not many instances of the Bible where we see people in their act of salvation, but I believe we see Peter's in Matthew chapter number 16. I believe in Matthew 16 it is right here where Simon Peter placed his faith once and for all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know this scripture. Jesus comes to his disciples and said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, in this moment, finally, I believe, once and for all, placed his faith in who Jesus really was. Now the question I want to ask you is this. What made Peter believe in Jesus? What makes Peter believe in Jesus that He's the Son of God? And here's the next question. What makes you and me believe in Jesus? What made Peter believe? And what made you and me believe that Jesus really was who He said He was? For Peter, was it the miracles he saw? Was it the teaching he heard? Or was it the things he felt? It wasn't any of those things. Everybody saw miracles. Everybody heard His teaching. And I'm sure everybody felt something. It wasn't any of that that made Peter put his faith in Christ. What made Peter put his faith in Christ? Jesus tells you in the very next verse. Let me find it. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said this, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You know what that means? It was not Andrew, your brother, who told you who I was. It was not John, and it wasn't the miracles you saw that made you believe in me. It was my Father in heaven who came to you and said, "Of a truth, this is my beloved Son, believe in Him," and you placed your faith in me. What made Peter believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior? You ready? God came and told him. And I want you to know this. there's not an amount of preaching I can do on who Jesus is to make you believe in Jesus. There's not an amount of preaching that I can do to make you believe and trust Him as your Savior. I can tell you all day who He is, what He's done, but that is not what makes you and I believe in Jesus. The only way we can get saved and put our faith in Jesus is if God the Spirit comes by our way personally and reveals the truth to our soul of who Jesus is. And can I tell you this? If you got saved, the day you got saved, that's exactly what happened. Listen, all my life, my mama, my daddy, my grandparents, and my preacher had told me all about Jesus, who He was, what He did for me. But on the day I got saved, I didn't get saved because my mama told me who He was. I didn't get saved because my daddy or my preacher told me who He was. I got saved because on that day, the sweet third person of the Trinity came passing by my way personally, and He breathed into my spirit and said, I want you to know this Jesus is real. This Jesus is the Savior, and He wants to be your Savior. And on that day, for the first time, everybody told me who He was, but God finally told me who He was. And on that day, I made Him my Savior. And when you make Jesus your Savior by faith, it is when your life of growth begins. Does it begin before that? It begins right there. And church, this morning, the question I want to ask you is, has that ever happened to you? A moment in your life where you received by faith the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And today, in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of this building, the Holy Spirit just might be speaking to your heart. He just might be passing by your way. And the moment He passes by your way, I need to tell you this, don't let Him keep passing. But invite Him. And invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And say the same thing Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And can I tell you this morning, it is in that very moment that you will begin your life of growth in the Lord. Spiritual life begins by faith. Without having faith, and without God imparting life to us, there is no growth to begin. So the first step to growth in the Lord is salvation. And salvation is by faith, not by works. And that's how Peter began. He began his life by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got one more thing and I'm done. Not only the preface of growth is faith, but you'll see in verses 3 and 4, once that happened, God gave us a provision of growth. He provided everything we'd ever need to grow. Verse 3, according as His divine power. And you could take that one or two ways. You could say that's just God's power. Or a lot of the Jews wouldn't speak the name of God in writing. They wouldn't write it out. So many people say because Peter was a Jew, he put His divine power here. But anyway, according as His divine power hath given unto us some things, a few things. Is that right? I need some glasses. Okay. All things. He has given us all things for what? That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look at what else He gave us. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Verse 3 and 4 tells you exactly what happened when you got saved. When we began our life in the Lord gave us all things we'd ever need. And we need to let that sink in. The moment we got saved, He's not going to give us all things as time goes on. He already did. He already did give us all things we'd ever need when we began our life in Him. Now, I didn't listen that good in science, but I do know this. Here's what's interesting about almost all forms of life. Whether it's plant life, animal life, or human life. These forms of life they don't begin fully grown or mature, do they? A plant does not start out fully grown. An animal does not start out fully grown. And we know humans don't start out fully grown or mature. They all begin, are you ready? I need you to know this. All forms of life begin in seed form. As just a little seed. That's how all forms of life begin. Just a little bitty seed. For example, that is a huge oak tree. Any of y'all have oak trees in your yard, around your yard? If they fall, something's going to be crushed. That's an oak tree. Some of you know this. It doesn't start out 60 feet tall. It doesn't start out with that huge trunk, strong as can be. You know how it starts out? I didn't like science growing up in school, but that's pretty cool. Something that little turns into something that big. But here's the cool part. Everything that acorn needs to become an oak tree is already on the inside of it. Everything. Everything that acorn needs to become an oak tree is already there. You can think of it the same way about human life. Human life, we don't start out 40-year-old men with beards. Maybe Adam did. He's probably the only one that did because God created him. That's up for debate. Anyway, human life does not start out fully grown or mature. We start out, when you study it, in little tiny seed form. But the amazing thing about that is this. That seed, of course, as you know, grows into life. And when a baby is born, you know this. They already have everything on the inside of them they need to become an adult. There's nothing you have to go to the doctor and say, I need you to make them into an adult. It's natural. You want to know why? It's already there. God built it into us. So when a baby's born, they already have everything they need to become an adult. But it all started out in seed form. Now here's where I'll kick a little bit. Our spiritual life, did you know this? Started out the same way. Our life in the Lord started out the same way, and Peter wants us to know it in 1 Peter. You ready? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me read it again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. When we're born the first time, we're just growing into a place where we're going to corrupt because it's a sinful seed that was put into us. When you're born again, it's not a sinful seed that's put under you. It's God's seed. It's God's life. That's what happened when you got born again. You got your Father's life put into you. When we got born again, that's exactly what happened. And the same way that acorn has everything it needs to become an oak tree. When God put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us and His divine nature, verse 4, with that came everything will ever need to grow. Already in here. So you know what we can't do? Go to God and say, you didn't give me enough. Because when we got born again, He gave us everything we'd ever need for eternal life and for a temporal life of godliness. You can't say, God, I can't live godly because you're not helping me. He's given us everything we need to live a godly life. Just like that acorn has everything it needs to become an oak. Just like that baby we hold in our arms has everything it needs to become an adult. So we as born again Christians have everything we need to grow in the Lord. But you do know this. That acorn needs water. That acorn needs to get rooted in the ground. That acorn needs some sun. A baby needs food. A baby needs water in order to promote their growth. They're going to grow, but they need this stuff to promote their growth. And when you and I got saved, the divine nature in seed form was put on the inside of us. And you know what we need? Something to promote its growth. There are a lot of Christians in our generation today. We get saved and it never grows. God saved us not just to take us to heaven, but so we grow in our likeness of Him. You know how that happens? Verse 5 will tell you. But just like the first episode of a season that you really wanted to watch, you're going to have to come back for episode 2. Because we ain't going to talk about it today. But the main thing you need to know today is verse 3 and verse 4. When you got saved, God, our Father, placed His life on the inside of you. And what He wants to do until the day you die is grow in such a way, you ready, that He starts to stick out somewhere. So that when people look at you, they ain't saying that's Justin. They ain't saying that's Danny. They're saying, look at Jesus. Jesus living in and through Him. That is what God's up to. And this year, He wants to do that in you. The question is, do you want Him to do that in you? Come back for episode 2 next week. We can all stand. Father, we thank You so much this morning for Your Word. God, we thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. And through Him, we have all things from the beginning of life to the end of life. Lord, we will never lack anything. From the time we got saved to the time we go to heaven, You have provided all things we'll ever need. And God, for that we give You praise. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to let this Scripture sink into our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us as this year is just beginning. Lord, help us to be diligent. Help us to be courageous. And help us to be intentional about how we can grow this year in our relationship with You. Because that's why You give us this precious time to get to know You better and better. And as we do, what a joy it is to know our Heavenly Father on a deeper level. We praise You. We love You. And I pray that if there's one in here this morning who hasn't began their life, I pray that they begin it today by trusting in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.